This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. By Friday, the United States will have a new president, and it will be a very busy week leading up to Donald Trump's inauguration, especially in Michigan. A confirmation hearing is scheduled for Betsy DeVos's nomination as Secretary of Education, and Governor Rick Snyder will deliver his State of the State address. Rick Pluta is the Michigan Public Radio Network's Capitol Bureau Chief, and he joins us from Lansing. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Gordon.
So first of all, give us the update on Betsy DeVos's confirmation hearing. When can we expect to see this?
That confirmation hearing is going to be tomorrow evening. As a matter of fact, it'll separate from the governor beginning his State of the State speech by just a couple of hours. And they are preparing. It was supposed to happen last week, but as we heard, that it was delayed so that the Office of Government Ethics could do more in terms of its due diligence and looking into possible conflicts of interest and finances and whatnot. And so now game day will be tomorrow afternoon, and that's exactly the way that both sides are looking at it. That this is, you know, at least for that this is the big game.
And big game in the sense that there is going to be something of a campaign going on here that you've reported on, that Betsy DeVos has a communications team which is trying to win support, really not so much for her nomination, but for her ideas that she would implement as Secretary of Education.
Absent some cataclysmic turn of events, it seems highly unlikely that the DeVos nomination can be derailed. However, it can be a forum for her ideas on expansive school choice, all across the country. And so they are already preparing, you know, success stories and information and support from families who actually use charter schools or school choice or something like that. What they want is Betsy DeVos not just to survive confirmation, but to be able to step into the job in a strong position to enact the agenda that she has in mind. And the job of the opposition, and this is largely a partisan divide, Republicans versus Democrats, the job of the Democrats in this case will be to try and make that agenda as untenable as possible, to attack it, the record, how successful charters and choice have actually been, and so, you know, make it more difficult in terms of public support for Betsy DeVos to, you know, get in and just start rolling.
So the idea here is everyone's kind of focusing on what the issues are, with the assumption that Betsy DeVos sometime in 2017 will be taking over as Secretary of Education.
Yeah, I mean, there will be some attention paid, no doubt, to the fact that Betsy DeVos and the DeVos family are among the largest financial supporters of the Republican Party and Republican candidates in the country, including some Republican senators who sit on the Senate Education Committee. But really, it sounds like most of the battle is going to be a policy fight over whether or not expansive school choice is really a good idea for education across the country.
And you noted that Betsy DeVos and her supporters will have some families there who will testify or come to her defense and say, look, this school improved my child's well-being or improved my child's education. What will the other side that maybe wants to blunt Betsy DeVos's efforts be doing?
Well, the way it was described to me is this is actually going to play out a lot like what we see during presidential debates, where there will be people who will be taking the things that are said in the hearing, the claims that are made, allegations that come out, and answering them in real time on social media, in email blasts. There will also be surrogates on hand who will give a particular perspective on some aspect of choice, whether we're talking about cross-district choice or vouchers for religious schools or charter schools, but, you know, all kinds of people coming in and representing a particular position on that, not just in hopes of persuading senators to support or oppose the nomination, but to do the same thing with the public, that this will be a political campaign of sorts.
Are both sides then maybe hoping to make this a referendum over the issue of school choice, charter schools, etc.?
On the issue of school choice, yes, absolutely. That's what they want to do, is that they want to make the public aware and they want to get the public engaged on one side or the other of the school choice movement.
Of course, school choice is not just an issue in Michigan, but Michigan has many charter schools thanks to the efforts of Betsy DeVos and her family and their education groups, which they've run. Will they try to make a case here that Michigan is better off with the huge increase that the state has seen in charter schools?
Team DeVos will try to make the case that Michigan is better off because of the school choice that's here, but they will also make the case that Michigan isn't the best measure of whether or not school choice is the way to go, because Michigan is still an anti-voucher state, that the state constitution says that no public funds can go directly or indirectly to private or religious schools. And you might, you know, remember that many, many years ago, the DeVos family backed a ballot proposal to try and amend the Constitution to repeal that language and allow vouchers, and it went down. So Michigan, they will say, is not what they call a pure choice state, but just a partial choice state. And so it's not a real measure of what an expansive choice landscape, how that would work out.
And will the other side be trying to highlight some of the problems that there have been with lower test scores, say, in some of the charter schools in Detroit, et cetera?
Oh, exactly. They'll point out that, you know, based on test scores overall, that charter schools are, you know, have not been shown to be much better, if they're better at all, than traditional public schools, and that they don't have to take all the students that come in, that they're not allowed to necessarily turn away students. But there are a lot of students who, as a practical matter, might not go to a charter school because it doesn't have the right special education program, for example. Transportation can also be an issue. Those things will come into it as part of the Michigan experience.
So as Governor Rick Snyder prepares to give his State of the State address tomorrow night, I wonder if you can maybe just, for our audience, maybe put a little bit of some context here about maybe the different atmosphere compared to a year ago when, of course, the Flint water crisis was, at that point, really very much in the news. Of course, it has continued mm-hmm. to be for a year. But is there a little different feeling to this State of the State address as opposed to last year, when that had really hit the front pages fairly recently, right before he gave that speech?
Yeah, I think so. That you might remember that really pretty much half of the speech last year was devoted to efforts to rescue Flint. And the governor delivered a very emotional apology directly to the people of Flint. I don't think we will see necessarily that much attention specifically on Flint, although he can't deliver a speech without bringing it up. But there is going to be a lot of attention to infrastructure, and certainly that brings into play Flint, not to mention the sinkhole over in Macomb County, and various road repairs, various other infrastructure challenges that are facing Michigan. And so I think we can expect to hear quite a bit about where the governor would like to go with that.
When the governor went over to Macomb County and visited the area where that sinkhole was, one of the first things he said was, here's an example of our aging infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Is it an actual opportunity here for the governor to make this case, which he has been for a while, that he's got a real tangible example here of what happens when a sewer line collapses, which has been allowed to stay there for so many years?
It is an opportunity for the governor to make that case. But the question is, how far will he go in pursuing it? Will he actually talk about specific funding ideas? Because that's where, that's where this always runs into it. Remember the whole debate about funding road repairs? That his goals in terms of generating revenue for that were a lot more ambitious than what Republicans in the legislature were willing to sign on for. Can he make the persuasive argument that the level of infrastructure investment that he wants is something that the legislature would go along with?
And we also have, at the same time, the revenue estimates, which just came out recently, show mm-hmm. that at least short term, Michigan's got a little bit of money that might go to something. Some lawmakers are talking about tax relief. Could we be in this situation where there's the back and forth of tax relief or infrastructure, at least for the short term?
The governor may have to go about quelling some tax cut fever among the Republican caucuses in the legislature. His budget chief warned after these new revenue estimates came out that, yeah, things are looking good in the short term, but, you know, long-term tax rollbacks are probably, at least substantial ones, are probably not in the cards based on the projections that are further out.
And then we have at the same time some lawmakers who are introducing bills which are aimed at least in the long term, completely phasing out Michigan's income tax. If we're looking at what the governor has said so far and what we think he's going to say in the state of the state, is there any reason to believe that he's going to hop aboard that bandwagon?
I doubt that he will hop aboard it. He probably won't, shoot a torpedo into it because that's not his style. He likes to work with the legislature. And of course, you know, when you talk about rollbacks that take place over decades, that they can be, you know, pretty incremental. The thing is, if you're a real, anti-tax advocate, you know, you'll look at that and go, well, but, you know, no legislature can tell a future legislature what to do. And so you can start an income tax, rollback scheme, but that doesn't mean that it's going to play out in the end.
So the legislative session came to an end with what was called a fairly quiet lame duck session for the time after the election. But there were a fair number of issues that kind of got left on the table, some things that would seem to have some bipartisan support, like prison reform, but maybe some other contentious issues like reforming teacher retirement. Does there seem to be anything that the governor especially has his eye on that the legislature did not pass in that last month before they adjourned?
Well, there are two that immediately come to mind, and one of them is the teacher retirement health care and public employee retirement health care, which are separate but related. And legislative leaders have said that they want to go back and revisit that. The governor has been on board in principle, you know, when it comes to doing that. The problem is that some of the fixes that have been proposed have a lot of big upfront costs that the state would have trouble handling. And so there's actually just some actuarial arguments over what the best approach to doing this might be. Another one is the cost of auto insurance and a no-fault overhaul. Now, this comes up every year, and it just always goes down in defeat or fizzles out somehow because Michigan, even though it's unique in having unlimited medical benefits, it's popular here. People like the fact that if something happens, something catastrophic, that they know that they or their loved ones are going to be taken care of no matter what. And that's just been too much for the people involved in this to bridge. So that will probably come up. It's just a question of whether or not this time, unlike all the previous times, that something could get done with that. But we also know that the new House Speaker, Tom Leonard, that was his mission in the last session, was to try and come up with something that would do something about auto insurance rates.
Rick Pluta is the Capital Bureau Chief of the Michigan Public Radio Network. He joined us from Lansing. Rick, thank you very much.
Always a pleasure, Gordon.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.